Hello, this is Veronica Klaus.
This is Jessica Xavier.
This is Georgie Jessup.
You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
For those of you who are enjoying these features, I want to mention a special treat. Next week on Queer Voices, we're airing a bonus edition of Queer Music Heritage, sort of a Transgendered Artists Part 2. Only that one will not have any interviews, as I want to squeeze in as many different artists as I can. There will be music in a number of styles, including rock, pop, dance, hip-hop, and even gospel. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And all of the artists featured on tonight's show gave me wonderful interviews, so good that I could not possibly fit it all into an hour's show. So you can hear an expanded version of the show at my website with a lot more songs and comments. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude.
The power of God is going to track you down and send you straight to hell.
That's not love.
I will not have a man wearing a dress in my courtroom.
That's not love.
Oh, my God. Hey, dude. Is that a man or is that a woman?
That's not love.
Have a man wearing
that's
a dress.
That's not love.
I will not.
That's not love. Oh, my God. Hey.
Track you down and send you straight to hell.
Preacher man tells me I'm living life in sin by having same sex, not the same sex as him. If that's not love, then I'm the devil's child. If that's not love, then I'm the devil's child. I see no evil. I see love, but that's not love, and that's not love. Maria's love, Louise, going on 55 years, but they cannot get married. Some senator said, that's queer. If that's not love, then I'm the devil's child. If that's not love, then I'm the devil's child. I see no evil. I see love. But that's not love. And that's not love.
Lots of people making big, big bucks. You and me, babe, I see we're out of love. Well, I heard a voice from a high above. It don't cost a thing just to be in love. We don't have any. Don't have anything but love. See the man in the big white house. He don't know about love, 'cause he can't get out. He used to work for a living like you and me, but now he married his money and he can't get. We don't have anything but love. We don't have anything but love.
else is gonna take your place. Nothing else is gonna take your place. And nothing else is gonna take your place.
Those two songs are by my last interview guest of the show, Georgie Jessup, and come from her latest and fourth album, Woman in a Man's Suit. I wanted you to hear a little bit of her music before I introduced her, because the songs speak much better than I can about the scope and passion of her music. She's a rocker who's not afraid to dig deep, whether it be about gay, lesbian, and transgendered issues, or about one of her passions, bringing into focus the plight of Native Americans. I reached her by telephone where she lives in Baltimore. Who is Georgie Jessup?
Well, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland area, D.C. and Baltimore. I'm a transsexual individual, male to female, and I'm a singer-songwriter.
Tell us about the new CD.
Okay, well, the new CD is called Woman in a Man's Suit. It's got 13 songs, and it's really about love, all kinds of different love, and it covers a wide variety of topics and musical styles. The production was meant to be kind of rootsy, so that whatever style that the song kind of lends itself to. So there's ballads and there's straight up rock and roll songs. I'm very proud of it. It was an album I started actually 3 years ago. I'm looking forward to it coming out in December, and I think it's going to be pretty good.
From the new CD, I'd like to hear about Road to Trinidad.
Road to Trinidad is a song when I was wrestling with what it means to be a man or a woman. You know, when I first started dressing, I went to drag clubs because they were safe for me. You know, I knew the gay man's idea of a woman was basically the same idea as a man, a heterosexual man's idea of a woman, which was the stereotype image. I mean, you won't find too many drag queens coming out and parodying Roseanne Barr. They're mostly coming out and doing Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand or somebody even more glamorous than them. And it's all about glamour, and it's about show, and it's about theater. And that's not where I was coming from. I was coming from just who I was. And when I started, I wear the short skirts and the fishnet stockings and high heels. And, you know, so Trinidad was kind of me doing that very thing, looking at the women that I admired and that I knew about, and I knew some of their history, like Amelia Earhart and Georgia O'Keeffe and the fictional characters of Thelma and Louise, and they were all people that I admired, and they were all very different women and very different energies about them, and that kind of helped me to understand that there is no definition of what it means to be a woman. You just are, you know, you are, and that's what Trinidad is. It's about finding your own place of power and staying there with dignity and some pride.
Is there an additional significance of the title?
Well, yeah, I went to Stanley Biber for my surgery, and that's in Trinidad, Colorado.
Isn't it like the sex change capital of the United States?
For years, it really was. Now, you know, a lot of people go up into Canada and out to Oregon, and there's a couple other places that I don't even remember where they are anymore.
But you would kind of have to be in the know to get the Trinidad reference.
A lot of times in a lot of my songs, there are these little, like, inside things that are going on that if you're a transsexual, you'll know what Trinidad is. You know what I'm saying? So I was like speaking directly to them there without alienating mainstream audiences in the song.
Every cowgirl gets the blues. Every cowgirl pays her dues. And every Johnny thinks we'll never make it on our own. When they wake from the dreams they've blown, we'll be in Trinidad.
Better take my six gun before I shoot someone. I don't need my six gun, child. It's too late for me to die young. You'll be Louise, I'll be Thelma. We'll drive our Thunderbird across this barren land. No savior rides this herd.
Cowgirl gets the blues.
Every cowgirl.
to join me on the road to Trinidad. They can't stop us on the road to Trinidad. They won't stop us on the road to Trinidad.
Rock on, Mother Jones.
What advantage do you think being transgendered gives you in your songwriting?
Well, it's like the whole idea of being transgendered itself. I was born in a male body. I was raised as a male. I understand life from that perspective. But I never felt like a male for whatever reason. And we tend to, when we respond about ourselves, we tend to say, oh, well, I felt like, you know, a girl trapped in a boy's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, depending on what point in our life we're at. But really all we know is that it doesn't feel right. That's the only thing we really know, and we don't understand it any more than anybody else does. And that brings us to the traditional way of looking at transgender people and that kind of thing, which is that it's a gift from Creator. So I was raised Catholic, and, you know, there was a whole part of my life that I grew up thinking I was evil and I was terrible. And finally, when I started to understand and I started to learn from some of the more traditional Native people that I met, you know, I understood that it's also a burden. So it's always a dual-edged thing, and that reflects in my music, that I'm able to look at love from, I believe, from the female standpoint and from the males. I mean, we were always kind of mediators, and I was always able to do that from both sides. I was able to sit down with males because I grew up around them, and I knew how they thought, and I knew what motivated them, and I knew the innocence of the motivation that sometimes maybe women didn't see that as being innocent. They just thought they were friggin' pigs, you know? But I understood it, and I could empathize with it, and at the same time, could understand what I was feeling, not necessarily being able to experience, but certainly which I have something in tune with from the way that a woman thinks about things. Now, that's very general, and I understand that, because the truth is, there is no definition of what there is to be a man and a woman unless you're just going to look at physical bodies. But, you know, certainly there's lesbian women that are more masculine, and there's some that are real feminine. And there's heterosexual women that are very masculine and heterosexual that are very feminine. So you can't really define it by, you know, feminine or masculine in who you are. And I get that a lot from a lot of people, because I think you've heard me sing, and I have a very male voice when I sing, and that was a big concern for me when I transitioned, because it made me nervous that, you know, I was going to be exposed to the world, because I looked pretty good, but the minute I opened my mouth, people were going to figure something was up. So I just kind of put all that beside me and went out and sang my song. That is reflected in everything that I do writing-wise. I mean, it's hard for me to write a song about a man, because if they hear my voice, are they going to say, oh, well, that's just a gay man, when that's not really what I'm doing? So I avoid a lot of he and she terminology and things like that. And I try to keep myself grounded, like I said, and I think that that helps me with lyrics that I wouldn't normally have.
When you perform, do you think audiences react differently to you than they would to a female performer?
Yes, I really do believe that they would, yes. You know, I mean, I can't even say, you know, because when I go on stage, I don't even think about that. I just, when I hit that stage, I'm doing what I'm put on this earth to do. That's the way I feel about it. And all that other stuff is outside of me, and I don't take it with me. I leave it behind. Even though, like now, talking to you on the phone, I can, you know, I can feel that way, and I can have all the paranoia about going out on stage and how people are going to read me and what they're going to think about me. But once I hit that stage, all that just goes away, and I just do what I do, and it's up to them to determine. I've had people, both men and women, come up to me and say, wow, it's so good to see a woman up there singing with a strong voice. And I'm like, well, thank you very much, you know. And then I've had other people come up, well, like, what are you? Are you a girl trying to be a man, or are you a man trying to be a girl? You know, what the heck are you? You know, and then I've had people that you know, that come, you know, say, oh, this is cool, man. I know people that are gay, you know. My focus when I hit a stage is to give the best performance I'm capable of giving. And I want the songs to speak. I mean, when you asked me who I was, well, yeah, I'm a transsexual, but, you know, I'm a singer-songwriter who happens to be transsexual. I'm not, you know, I don't define myself by my transsexuality. That's just, you know, the way I am. And it's something that I had no control of, which brings us back to spirituality. It didn't come from me. And I had two choices. Either I was going to look at it as a burden, or I was going to look at it as a gift. And at a certain point in my life, I looked at it as a gift. And that changed my life dramatically.
What is the song I'm a Werewolf about?
I'm a Werewolf is about when I first started transitioning, and I would go out to these drag queen bars and hang out on the weekend. After I got out of that, I started reflecting on the whole, you know, concept of coming out at night, as, you know, monsters do, and especially the werewolf that, you know, have to wait till the full moon's out and such. You know, I drew the parallel between a werewolf and a transgender person. And I think that's one of the magic moments of that album, because you can really hear the whole transition between the male thing and the female side. It's all there, and you can see the singer kind of transforming. The last verse says, "I did not mean to scare you, so come on out from under the bed." I always felt that way. I know people, you know, don't know how to deal with transgender people, but you know, there's really nothing to be afraid of.
I don't want your blood, I only want some company. I don't want your blood, I only want some company. Won't you sit down here beside me? I just need a little company.
Tell me about your CDs. How many CDs have you released?
I have three CDs. One that I did as a full-fledged project back in, I started it back in 1994, and it finished around 1996, and that's called American Holocaust, and it was 10 songs that addressed the genocide in America that took place against the indigenous people of Turtle Island, which is what we call the USA. And then, let's see, I have one I put out in around 2001 called Sweetgrass Smoke, and I've just recently changed the name of that album to Red Cloud's Room. And the third one is Wente and Crazy Sacred Dogs, and that started out as a five-song demo to try and get the band work. And the band was actually called Wente and Crazy Sacred Dogs, me being Wente.
And tell me about the Wente concept.
The Wente is a tradition in Lakota cultures. I traveled to South Dakota in 1983 because I was married at the time to a biological woman and very much in love. We're still very close friends. You know, I wanted to find out what the heck was going on and how I could deal with this. When I first met her, I was honest enough to tell her about what was going on in my head, but I didn't know where it was going to take me. And she went out to South Dakota with me, and I wanted to meet some older medicine person who could maybe explain this tradition, and I could see whether, you know, it was the real deal, or was I just being, you know, a white man fantasizing or romanticizing all of this, you know, in my head. Fortunately, and I guess coincidentally, I was taking to a man named Frank Fullcrow. Turned out he was the ceremonial chief of the Oglala Lakota people, so he was a very respected man. And him, I learned about this tradition that the Wente, and there was a lot of people, you know, at that time starting to latch on to the two-spirit terminology, and they were calling themselves Wentes and stuff like that. which is very cool. It's a good thing. I think it's, anytime you're heading back to spirituality, it's good. But I think sometimes I hear, oh, yeah, we're sacred. You know, I'm a sacred person, you know, because I'm a Wente, because I'm transgendered, I'm a sacred person. And what Fool's Crow helped me understand is the tradition is sacred. And I may indeed be eligible for that tradition, but I have to walk that talk in order to do it.
I know you identify very strongly with Indian culture. Is there any song in particular that you would like to talk about that expresses this?
There's so many on American Holocaust. That album really tells the story. It talks about the old days in Talking to Myself, where that's really referring to a lot of massacres that happened and kind of reflecting on that, to Good Day to Die, which is about growing up in modern times on a reservation and the alcoholic rate, the unemployment, and all the things that are happening on reservations today. And Until I Dance, which is about finding that place of peace with everything. It is about dancing your dance, the figurative sense of letting yourself go and letting yourself dance, living your life and not caring what anybody thinks. All these things, all these questions that you have about yourself, you won't know until you dance.
I want to ask about a song from the album Wente and Crazy Sacred Dogs. Please tell me about Girl to Look Good.
Well, Girl to Look Good is another song that was from Wente and Crazy Sacred Dogs. And that was another song that, you know, addressed this whole idea of what society says a woman should be and how they should act. And me as a transgender person not really being able to fit those images and realizing that there's a hell of a lot of women that don't fit that image either. And kind of empathizing with them. And the last verse in that, I think, is pretty poignant, where it says, not a woman, he's not a man. God wouldn't have made me if there wasn't a plan. I've made you nervous, and I knew I would, but it ain't easy for a girl to look good.
Just should get a medal just to stay alive. Any other girl would lose her will to survive. She has to work for a living. That's
In addition to her four albums, I'm pleased that Georgie shared some unreleased tracks with me, and there's a couple I've just got to ask about. And when you hear them, please keep in mind that they are demos and not yet mastered for release. Georgie, please tell us about Drag City.
Drag City is a fun pop song. It almost, in some places, has kind of a David Bowie kind of arrangement to it, with a piano interlude that's in there. And it's a real fun song musically. But Drag City started as kind of like addressing three different individuals that I ran across in the, you know, gay and transgender world as I was transitioning. And the first verse talks to, basically in a kind of kind way, to the drag queens themselves. Then the second verse is actually talking to men who would hit on me. And I remember distinctly when I started to get respect for myself, because you got to understand, when a transsexual person is transitioning, they're emotionally like a 14-year-old girl. So anybody that whistles at them, you know, oh, geez, I'm a good, I'm looking good today, you know. And in reality, the people that were hitting on me, the people that were buying me drinks and, you know, wanting to have sex with me or whatever, they were people that I wouldn't even give the time of day to in the day. That I, you know, I would get in arguments with about politics if I were sitting with them during the day. And here I was letting these people be intimate with me. And so I was addressing them in this verse saying, you're not going to do that to me. And one guy actually said to me at one time, he kept following me around the bar, and I said, you know, leave me alone, man. You know, and he said, what's wrong with you? I said, you know, I don't want you around. I, well, why not? I said, you're weird. He goes, what the hell is that? You calling me weird? And I said, that's exactly why you're weird, because you think I'm weird.
Do you think you got the spirit when you put on that dress? Do you think I'll share a Madonna? Top boys won't give it a rest. Well, there's more to the way you live and breathe than acting like it's somebody else. You can hide behind your makeup, but you better not lie to yourself. You're stuck in Drag City. Get out of Drag City. Well, you're hoping I'd be your little girl, wishing I'd be your toy. Well, I'm saying that I got a choice here, and I don't want to be your boy. Well, it took me 30 years or more to learn to walk that talk. And it's not that I'm ungrateful, but baby, it's not my fault. You're stuck in Drag City. Get out of Drag City. You're stuck in Drag City. Get out of Drag City.
Tell us about Transsexual Truck Stop.
Well, Transsexual Truck Stop is about a little bar in the spirit world where it's all run by transsexuals. You know, the mechanics are transsexuals, the waitresses, the bartenders, everybody there is transsexual. And the blues guitar players would stop in there, you know, to relax and have a drink on their way down to the crossroads or whatever. And we would kind of tell them, you know, like, you ain't got to sell yourself to the devil. It ain't got to be black and white. It's about balance. And that's what you should be focusing on. And it was a tongue-in-cheek thing about the Robert Johnson story where he goes down the crossroads and he's not a very good guitar player and he sells his soul to the devil and then he becomes the greatest guitar player ever. And, you know, there's all these myths about guitar players going down there. And, you know, in the black community, in the blues and black community down there in the South especially, it was, if you played the blues, you were doing the devil's music, and if you sang gospel, you were doing God's work. And it was this either or thing. And the thing is, transsexuals, at least ones that are similar to me, have dealt with all that by the time we've grown up. And here are these men still dealing with good and evil and getting themselves drunk because they're ashamed of themselves, but they got to do it, so they get drunk in order to play their music. And it was kind of like I created this refuge for them to come to and to chill and to understand balance. So that's what Transsexual Truck Stop is about.
Where Highway 49 meets 61 sits a truck stop. Be the Delta song. Do yourself a favor. Sit down and have a
have a drink. Gonna tell a story while the devil takes his wings. They can clean your windows good. Check where
think the word transgendered has evolved over the years?
Well, I read a book by Gordine McKenzie, who co-hosts the Gender Talk show, and I read this book by Gordine called Transgender Nation, and she explores the history of transgender a little bit as a word, and I think it was a reaction to the word transsexual, which kind of is the wrong word because it implies a sexual thing like homosexuality or heterosexuality, and it doesn't really reflect the main issue, which is gender. And, you know, at least for transsexuals, it doesn't matter who we sleep with. It's about how we feel, who we are. You know, so I was glad to have that word, and I would use that word more than I use transsexual only. And I only use transsexual just because it clarifies it for the lay listener, if you will, that they understand, you know, where my path had taken me in terms of surgery and things like that, and that I, you know, I'm legally considered a woman on my driver's license and stuff like that. But I actually prefer the word transgender. I'm a little concerned about the whole idea of it being, you know, about just simply not having gender or not recognizing the common feelings of gender that all of us have, and maybe it is just a sociological thing, but I think it's something deeper, because I've had people react to me, both straight and gay and everything, you know, oh yeah, you know, I think we're all both, and we all are both. You know, all of us have female and male sides, but there's something about the transsexual person that as a little pre-puberty child that you want to pull their penis back between their legs, and as a little kid, I mean, I would tie my penis back between my legs and it hurt, but I would do it because I thought it would go away if I did that. I thought magically it would go away. I mean, that's how young I was. And there's something that drives us to go to those kind of extremes that has something more to do with just, you know, culturalization of what it means to be a man or a woman. Like in my family, I mean, women worked right, did yard work, and I mean, we lived on a, you know, horse farm. And, I mean, they were out there, like, baling hay right along the side of the men. And so it wasn't like I was being filled with any of these stereotypical ideas of women versus men or anything. And yet it was still strong enough into me that I really felt the need to change myself physically in order to manifest what was inside me. So, you know, I gave it away. Instead of kept keeping it inside of me, I gave it away. And, you know, that's a pretty big step to take, to go through that kind of surgery, not only economically, but to put your body through that kind of change and to accept the kind of discrimination that you're going to face along the way. That's a huge endeavor to do, and it shows a real commitment. So for me, it was kind of like an affirmation to myself that, hey, this is just not about cross-dressing or being kinky and getting off on wearing, you know, feminine clothing. It's not about trying to attract men or not attract men or attract women or not attract women. It's about who I am. And I think that that's a real distinction between some of the people that, you know, some of these bands that are like in this in-between place. I think that's a real difference between where they're at and where transsexual, transgender people are at.
You think the word transgendered has become too general? Maybe the umbrella's too big?
You know, I just don't, you know, I don't dwell on that kind of stuff to really I'm not going to tell anybody whether they can take that. Just like Wente, I'm not going to tell anybody whether they can call themselves a Wente or not. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. And if they walk that talk, I'm sure the truth will come to the light and everybody will be happy about it. But I'm just more concerned about myself.
Now, I've got one more song left in the show. But before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening and to thank Veronica Klaus, Jessica Xavier, and Georgie Jessup for their very special interviews. And I want to remind you that next week on Queer Voices, I've got a bonus show featuring as much music by transgendered artists as I can pack into one show. No interviews, just lots of music. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I wish you would. My website, of course, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. Oh, and if you want to visit the websites for our three artists, they are at www.veronicaklaus.com, www.georgiejessup.com, and for Jessica Xavier and her band Femme Messiah, you can visit www.galaerecords.com. Galae is G-A-L-L-A-E records.com. And now, back to Georgie for one more question. Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
Oh, man. Right now, I mean, I think it changes all the time. Wente and Crazy Sacred Dog had this song called Post Out Freeway, and I'm very proud of that song because it reaches a lot of people, and a lot of people request that song from me when they come back to hear me again. And it touches people, and they don't have to know anything about transsexuality to identify with it. And yet, just from the title and some of the lyrics that are in there, I think every transsexual sister and brother can identify with what I'm saying in that song.
Tell me more about it.
Post Op Freeway was my way of saying, I'm not going to be defeated by this world that doesn't understand me or that looks down on me or that treats me like, you know, I shouldn't even be here. And they're not going to defeat me. So, it's, you know, the last couple lines are, I will not die, I will not crash. There's so many lines in that song that just say where I'm coming from. If you'd seen the music that I'd make, you would not call it a mistake. You'd see the songs I paint. Listen to the gender dance. Are you afraid to take your chance? Or does blood make you faint? You know, I meant to run that light. I never claimed I'd be polite. I don't want your sympathy. You know, I will not die, I will not crash.
That's my favorite of your songs.
It is for a lot of people. I'm very proud of it.
From the album Wente and Crazy Sacred Dogs, here's Georgie Jessup and Post Op Freeway.
If you've been listening with your eyes, then you would not be surprised to see me standing here. Am I the subject of your hate? Are you too perfect to relate? I'm so insincere. You know I meant to run that light. I never claimed I'd be polite. Don't want your sympathy for your bloody sacrifice. I would not die, I will not crash.
I would not die, I will not crash.
I would not crash so you can laugh. I'd make, you would not call it a mistake. You'd see the songs I paint. Listen to the gender dance. Are you afraid to take your chance? Or does blood make you faint? You know I meant to run that light. I never claimed I'd be polite. Don't want your sympathy. I would not die, I will not crash.
I would not die, I will not crash.
I would not crash so you can laugh. And I will charge you with your star. I will catch you with your fall. Oh, you just need a tow. But hear my horn, I sing it loud. I'm not just living in the clouds. I own the rainbow.
I will not crash
so you can laugh.